Hi, this is Nick Hill here in the studio with
Aaron.
And we got a very special guest on the phone right now, a very talented saxophone player, Kamasi Washington, who is coming to the Canopy Club November 14th and fresh off an EP release called The Harmony of Difference. Kamasi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude, thanks for coming on. For real, this was really cool.
This is really, really special.
So I think first I kind of just want to ask about your EP in general. I'm just wondering because it feels like each track has kind of a central melody, but is different in each its own way. So can you kind of talk about your EP a little bit and its name, Harmony of Difference?
Yeah. So it's a 6-part suite. The first 5 parts are 5 songs that kind of represent like different aspects of where I'm from and different places that I've been.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 6th part is us playing all 5 parts at the same time.
Wow.
So we're playing all 5 songs at the same time in the 6th song.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's cool because each song kind of like incorporates the same elements but are still so different at the same time with like different tone, different theme. So it's cool to hear that in such a diverse way but with the same core structure.
Yeah.
So where did what was the inspiration of that idea of having the same kind of structure?
Like, yeah.
Last year, the Whitney Museum in New York asked me to create something for their biannual exhibit, and it was around a time where it just felt like there was so much negative energy towards diversity and the kind of like the sense of people being together, and there was just so much like there was such a push to kind of push people away. There was like so much energy towards seemed like bigotry, and I was just, you know, I was kind of baffled because it seemed like it was a kind of turn in the energy of the world. It seemed like where before that it seemed like we were kind of going in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to make something that really kind of was a celebration of our differences and a celebration of, you know, really what this country is, which is like a collection of different people.
Right.
You know, and as a musician, I've traveled around a lot, and like I feel that, you know, one of the most beautiful aspects of the world is how different it is in so many different places, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it really is like the real experience of life is like kind of like understanding the different ways in which you can live it. And then like being from Los Angeles, it's almost like a little miniature microcosm of the world because there's like so many different types of people living there.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, you can walk down the street and you see someone wearing a kimono, another person wearing a daishiki, someone else is, you know, a monk from, you know, from Monster. It's like all these different types of people living amongst each other, and it's really beautiful. It's like it's such a rich experience that like I felt like it seemed like people were kind of losing sight of that. So I set out to kind of make something that was a representation of that. And so, you know, I'm a musician. So in music, we have this thing called counterpoint, where basically you're taking different melodic parts and balancing the level of difference and similarity between them to kind of create a harmonious relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take that to another level instead of like having it just be like melodic parts to actually create 5 different songs that could kind of react and work and like within the realm of counterpoint. And so, you know, as kind of like a metaphor for like different people living together and like to have 5 melodies that are beautiful on their own, but when you bring them all together, it's even more beautiful, just like how the world is. Like you have different cultures, but as you really pull those cultures all together and as you learn about different people in different places, you really start to see the real beauty of the world.
Right.
Most definitely. I actually got the opportunity this past spring break. I went to the Whitney. I didn't even know the exhibit was there, but I remember after seeing just some crazy, like, intense art, and then I went into this room and your music was playing with these beautiful visuals. I got this sense of like hope. Was this kind of the sense that you were getting as well as you were kind of arranging and putting this all together?
Yeah, it was, I really wanted to focus on, because so much was focused on the negative and like the fight and yeah. the grind of it. I wanted to focus on like the beauty of it. Like, I didn't just want to like go like, you're wrong. You know what I mean? I wanted to be more like, you're saying something is ugly, but let me just show you how beautiful it is. You know? It's like if someone tells you that, you know, the night sky is a horrible thing. You're like, well, let me angle your head up and let you look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see like how beautiful this is. It's not ugly. It's not something that you should shun away from or push away or try to block and make sure no one can see it. It's like, no, man, it's just like, probably is the most beautiful aspect of this world is all of the collection of all of our ways of being.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
Was the EP recorded all in one take? Was it just continually just?
Yeah, it was all recorded. Well, it was recorded over. We did the first 5 parts in one day.
Yeah,
and then we did 6 part the next day.
Oh, wow,
that's awesome!
That's amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you play the tenor saxophone, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been kind of playing that your whole life.
Yeah, well, I've been playing tenor saxophone. I've been playing saxophone since I was about 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been playing music since I was probably 3 or even younger.
Okay. So what made you pick the tenor saxophone over the other types of saxophones?
You know, I started off on as far as saxophone, I started off on alto.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a music high school. It was like a school like for people who wanted to be musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, like in the jazz band, there were 10 alto saxophone players and no tenor saxophone players. And so luckily, my dad is a saxophone player, so I'm like a second-generation musician. So when the teacher was like, does anyone play tenor? And I was like, well, I have a tenor saxophone. And he was like, all right, well, can you bring it tomorrow? And so like, I just took one of my dad's saxophones. I didn't tell him either. Like when I came home, he was like in a panic. He was like, somebody broke into the house and stole the saxophone. I was like, oh, no.
Most definitely. What were kind of your influences growing up when it came to music? Or I guess even outside of music?
I mean, I definitely had a lot of music around me. You know, my dad's a musician, so tons of records and you know, he would take me to concerts and rehearsals and recording sessions and stuff. And then I had my own musical kind of like my own little sidebar of music that I was into that he didn't really know about. Like, you know, I was really into like West Coast hip hop, you know, gangster rap basically. and I was into like Jodeci and, you know, then I had my mom who was like into people like Chaka Khan and Whitney Houston. And then I grew up in a near area called Lamar Park. And so there was a lot of like African drumming and like kind of like West African traditions kind of happening there. So it was a pretty eclectic kind of palette, even as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's definitely evident in the music. It's, and now kind of full circle, you're leading this new wave of jazz and popular music again. Kind of making it relevant, which is, I think, really cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I feel like jazz is, it's always kind of been there, but it was just kind of in the background of it, you know, and I think now people are kind of opening up, I mean, not only to the music, but the idea of the music, you know. I feel like, you know, if you're really into hip-hop, there's so much jazz in hip-hop, so many samples, so many of the producers that make hip-hop are, you know, really come from jazz, and you know, that comes across, they go across the board to rock and roll, to hip hop, to R&B, to pop, you know, like so many people behind that scenes of music are really rooted in jazz, and there's so much jazz in those music. It just wasn't kind of, people just didn't own up to it. And now it's become cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Got you. And then you mentioned, I think you said earlier that you kind of had this eclectic palette, and like Nikhil said, it's kind of come full circle, because your work is kind of associated with a lot of people like Thundercat, and you were a huge part of To Pimp a Butterfly, and you've also done some work with Philo, and that in itself is this eclectic palette on the West Coast and just overall. So that whole scene, what's it like kind of seeing everyone doing their own innovative and awesome things and kind of contributing to that?
it's beautiful. It's like, you know, like I've known Thundercat since we were like babies. His dad, my dad had a band together.
Oh.
Even like Flying Lotus, we met Flying Lotus when we were young kids. Thundercat and I had a band called the Young Jazz Giants. Mm-hmm. It was myself, Thundercat, his brother, Ronald Gunner Jr. on drums, and Cameron Graves on piano. And we won this John Coltrane competition. And Robbie Coltrane presented the award, and he bring his little cousin, you know, Stephen, Flying Lotus.
Oh.
So it's been like a long journey, you know. So it's really cool to see everybody able to really express themselves and to have their art and their expression like appreciated by the world. Because, you know, I felt like, you know, Thundercat's been a genius since he was a little kid.
Yeah.
So it's like to have him like get recognized now is amazing.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because Thundercat was here a couple weeks ago at Pygmalion.
At the Pygmalion Festival, he came. We both saw him live. It was amazing.
Yeah. And then I was checking your tour, and it's a lot of the major cities where you got these college towns like Madison and Urbana. Is there any specific reason why? I mean, I'm not complaining, of course, but is there any specific reason why you're kind of swinging by these college towns?
We're just trying to get around. We kind of missed the Midwest a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. in our last best run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just love meeting different people and seeing different places. So it was like, you know, I was talking to my agent, like, he was like, where do you want to go? I was like, I want to go where I haven't already been.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's cool. Yeah. So, going back to collaborations, so typically oftentimes you've collaborated with artists outside of your own genre. So how has that sort of helped your career and your own musical, path? How's it helped you grow as an artist collaborating with,
like Kendrick?
Yeah. With hip hop musicians and artists like eBay and Everything Is Recorded, all these different sort of eclectic artists.
You know, it expands your horizons, and it forces you to kind of find aspects of your musicality that you may not have known were there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, every time I work with a different artist, I learn something about them, and I learn something about myself. So for me, it's like it's fun and challenging to kind of like to go new places and to try new things. So. You know, I like with eBay, it was great to work with them. When I was younger, I played a lot of Cuban music.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of, like, in that Yoruba kind of tradition, but they have a whole different spin on it. And
yeah.
So it was cool for me, one, to kind of get back to doing that, because I hadn't played that kind of music in a long time. But then to hear this new approach to it, it was great. It was really super fun. And, you know, working with Richard, with Everything Was Recorded, Everything Is Recorded, was cool too, because his approach to music was so much different. And, you know, kind of just working with different artists kind of makes you, it makes you find new things about yourself, because they all ask something different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Who's been your favorite artist to collaborate with so far? Because you've collaborated with so many.
Hmm. You know, it's hard to say. It's kind of like each person is different,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's a fun aspect to each one, you know, like, you know, like when I work with like Flying Lotus, he works really fast. So I have to like really be in the moment, because like, I know like he may let you do two takes at the most, but he usually like whatever you play the first time is kind of what he's going to take. And then like, you know, someone like Kendrick, you know, he really reaches for like the depth of what you have inside yourself. You know, it's like he wants the most special aspect of who you are, you know? So it's kind of like with him, it's almost like creating your own music, in that you have to really, really reach deep down and like try to pull out something that really is special to mm-hmm. him, you know? And then, you know, it's kind of like each one is different. So it's more like, I don't have a favorite. It's more like I have like when like if Kendrick calls, it's kind of like, oh, dope, I get to like kind of get deep for a little minute. Or like if Lotus calls, it's kind of like, all right, let me like really get sharp, because I already know it's gonna be quick. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Or Thundercat, he always writes music that's is so different, you know, like he always has a different, like his music is really like, it makes you kind of think like as a musician, because it's so non-conformist. It's nothing like it, you know, to kind of approach it. So, you know, each person kind of pulls something different out of me, you know.
Most definitely. Are there any artists outside of who you've collaborated with so far that have your ear, whether it's like rap or jazz?
Say it one more time.
Like, are there any artists right now that like have your ear right now? Like,
that I would want to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of them. We ran into Anderson .Paak a lot on these last tours, and I love his music, love his whole approach. He's such a talented, like, you know, sing, write, play mute, play drums, you know what I mean? Just everything. we did a couple of shows with D'Angelo in Australia. And that, I was just like, man, that would be so cool to do something with him.
That'd be amazing.
Brandon Coleman and I are really huge John Williams fans. We've been like putting it in the universe that somehow John Williams is going to want to do something with us.
That would be like epic. That. Oh my gosh. No pun intended, but wow. That'd be awesome.
But, you know, so like, I'm always dreaming and thinking and, you know.
Most definitely. Kind of switching total gears. Did you go to college or some type of like musical like education as like a young adult?
Yeah, I was an ethnomusicology major at UCLA.
Got you. What were you like in college?
What's I like in college?
Yeah.
Because when I was in college, I was touring with Snoop. So my whole thing was, you know, figuring out how to like, you know, keep my grades while I missing 5 weeks out of a 10-week quarter. So I got really, really, really good at like, befriending my professors, you know, this is like before everyone had laptops. I remember one time I was in a row with Snoop, and I had this paper that I had to turn in, and you know, most of the hotels back then had like a business center.
Yeah,
so I'm at this hotel. I'm like, do you have a business center? And they're like, no, we don't have a business center, but you can send an email on your TV. And like, so in the room they had like a Nintendo 64 controller. And, like, you could send an email, but, like, it had, like, a big screen full of letters. And you go, like, hey, B, do you ever get, like, a letter by letter? And I wrote a whole paper.
Wow.
And emailed it to my professor.
That's impressive.
With a Nintendo 64 controller.
That's wild. You have to get an A. That's some creative cramming right there, I gotta say.
Yeah.
So kind of going off that, I listen to your music now, and I feel like you are a man that emphasizes, in a sense, balance. And especially like for college students, that's something that's very important, you know, having that balance. Do you feel that you're a balanced person, and how would you give advice to like maintain balance, I guess, in life?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of naturally a bit of a balanced person. I'm not really hot, not really cold, you know. I'm Aquarius. So we're kind of like thinkers, you know? Sometimes it's to my detriment, because it's like, you know, some people say, you know, measure twice, cut once. I'm like, measure 10 times and then cut once. So, you know, it's not something I mean, sometimes like I can be a bit, you know, as a musician, most musicians have kind of an addictive personality.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do get into something, I kind of get all the way into it. I kind of get lost in it.
Right.
So I just kind of am careful about what I allow myself to kind of get into, because I know, like, you know, I limit myself to like 2 games a year. If I get into too many, then I'll just be lost.
Yeah.
Well,
I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's just that. It's just kind of knowing what you want to do and kind of angling yourself to kind of do what you want to do, because, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you have to enjoy life at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I always feel like, you know, you can't just do the, can't just be thinking about, I don't know, like, quote unquote success. You know, you have to just kind of decide what you want and just kind of position yourself and aim yourself and go towards that and then just live life as it comes.
Right, right. Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah. So you mentioned that you went to music school and you've been playing music your whole life. So how do you feel about all these 18 and 19-year-old artists making huge waves in the music scene with no, like, formal education at all?
You know, hey, I mean, it's to each his own, you know? I look at it like, for me, I never really looked at music as, I don't make music or even really live my life to make money. You know, mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, for me, the real actual reward of what I do is the music, you know, like for me, it's great to be comfortable and be able to, like, you know, put gas in your car and food on your plate, but the real reward for me, like when I made that, when I ate the Epic or How Many Difference, was the fact that I was able to make it.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, like, that's what I really dreamed about. I really dreamed about being able to make really good music, you know, that was what I really dreamed about. That was what I was aiming for in my goal. You know, I live in the real world, so you need money to do things.
Yeah.
But, you know, seeing someone doing something that, you know, is in a related field to me and making a bunch of money, I don't really get salty about it, because, you know, for me, it's, you kind of get what you really go after in life in general, you know. So for me, it was, I've been going after music, and, you know, in that, whatever level of monetary success I have, it's kind of secondary. It's kind of just a byproduct of me being able to make good music is what I always hope. You know, I wouldn't trade places with someone who, like, didn't put in the work and didn't, like, doesn't really understand music, but is making a bunch of money doing something. It's like, well, that's fine. I mean, that may be what they wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And who am I to, like, be upset for them getting what they wanted, you know?
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. So this is our last question. But me and Nikhil, we started this radio show here called Can I Kick It?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about hip-hop and rap specifically. And when, every time we have a guest on, we always ask them who their top five rap list is. I know it's a question on the spot.
Yeah,
but I was wondering if you got a list in mind.
The top five rappers?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a hard one. Four and five. This is gonna get real slow.
No, it's all good.
Okay. Top five. Is it in any order, or is it just?
Yeah, any order.
Yeah,
your top five.
You can just
favorite.
Do five, no particular order.
Yeah.
A particular order. Okay, so in that particular order, I'll say Nas, Snoop,
nice,
Busta Rhymes, Lauryn Hill.
Ooh,
okay.
Oh, man. I got one more, huh?
Yeah, you got one more.
Oh, man, that's impossible. I know he's relatively young. I'm, man.
Yeah, man, you can say it for young.
Well, relatively young, but, you know, I'm going to say Kendrick.
Okay.
In there.
Yeah.
That's a solid list.
I would say a lot of people our age would definitely have Kendrick on there too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Working with so many of these rappers, have you ever tried to rap yourself?
Nah, I never really. I mean, you know, I mean, jokingly. You know what I mean? With some alcohol involved. But not seriously. Never seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to make beats a lot more than I do now, but
oh, nice.
I was never.
Oh, man.
Are those ever going to see the light of day? Kumasi Washington Beats?
I don't know. I don't know. We got to go dig up some of the hard drive.
Most definitely.
Nice. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on air today. This was really fun.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, looking forward to coming out.
Yeah, yeah. So Kamasi Washington, fresh off his new EP release, Harmony of Difference, and is hitting the Canopy Club November 14th. If you're listening, make sure to
get your ticket.
Yeah, catch him there.
You don't want to miss that.
Go.
Once again, thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you.